And welcome to another edition of the Issues of Life radio show right here on WTGF. We almost had the sports edition today.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you ran back to the microphone.
Yeah, no sports edition. Not today.
Jeez,
anyway.
I was trying.
We're going to have to do that one of these days.
One of these days.
But I'll have to study up on it to make it work.
I'll give you material to study.
Well, at any rate, it certainly is good to be with you today. It's good to be on the air and here on the Issues of Life radio show. Trust that you'll receive a blessing by the content today. And if you have comments, we'd sure like for you to call in. We're going to be discussing politics a little bit in the beginning of the show, and then we'll go from there to some other things. I really want to delve into the reasoning. I guess just give you a little foreview as to what we want to delve into today. And that is the reasoning why people are, Christians particularly, are following Donald Trump. It's the wildest thing that I think that I've ever seen in my 65 years on this earth.
Did you see the results from last night? It was interesting to see those.
Yeah, for
sure. Because out of the 10 states, Trump won 7.
Yeah.
And Cruz won 2, and then Rubio won Minnesota.
Yeah.
But what gets me is that Cruz didn't win Alabama, Georgia.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah, Tennessee, amazing to me.
I was like,
and this is supposed to be the Bible Belt. And again, I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and let me just give out some numbers, and then we'll play that clip, and we'll kind of use that as a segue into what we want to deal with in regards to Christians voting for a man like Donald Trump. Give us a call. We're gonna play a clip here, and then we're gonna have a discussion afterwards. So you give us a call. You can go ahead and get online and be ready when the clip is finished. We'll have a discussion, but call it 994-3747. And don't forget now, that's 850-994-3747, and we'll be glad to have a discussion on this matter afterwards.
Choosing a candidate, does your faith and your beliefs come first?
Yes.
Yes.
Only one in our group is sure he's voting Trump.
The relationship Mr. Trump has with God is between him and God. I am not the one here to judge.
Others in the group don't agree. One of the biggest issues, Trump has never asked for forgiveness from God.
I think if I do something wrong, I think I just try and make it right. I don't bring God into that picture. I don't.
What it causes me to do is pray for him, because he will never know the peace that he can have from forgiveness.
Trump also raised eyebrows among the group when he said this.
When we go in church and when I drink my little wine, which is about the only wine I drink, and have my little cracker, I guess that's a form of asking for forgiveness. And I do that as often as possible because I feel cleansed, okay?
When you hear Donald Trump say, I have a little wine at church, I take a little cracker, and I feel cleansed. Is that enough for you?
I believe that it represents, in a symbolic fashion, the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And consequently, it is a serious thing for me. And so when somebody just makes it sound like, oh, yeah, I just do this and do that, yeah, that does bother me.
But I didn't feel as though he was 100% sincere, like he really understood what communion was about, and that concerns me.
This group has heard Trump say that the Bible is his favorite book. But when asked about his favorite scripture, he told reporters it was too personal a question.
When you become a Christian, you want to tell others what happened to you. Mm-hmm. Before I was saved, I didn't care about telling anybody about Jesus Christ.
So you're saying,
but once I gave my heart to the Lord, I thought, man, everybody needs to know how to go to heaven, and I wanted to tell everybody.
On other important issues like immigration, the group as a whole is happy to see Trump has the nerve to address it. They agree the southern border needs a wall. Meanwhile, on the issue of abortion rights,
the fact that at one point he supported abortion rights and now he's pro-life, or says he's pro-life.
Well, for me, it just, if you're either you're pro-life or you're not, that's where I'm at.
If Trump turns out to be the nominee, would you all vote for him?
That is the one thing we have to do. We have got to rally. He may not be the perfect person, and there isn't a perfect candidate out there that has everything, but we are going to have to rally around whoever becomes the nominee.
Interesting. Thanks to the great folks at CNN.
Here's some advice.
Providing that
one
clip, and then they play commercials, of course.
Yeah. Well, it's it's quite interesting to me that the again, Christians' attitudes and the following that Trump has among evangelicals, supposedly Christian people in the country. You know, just think about this. If he becomes a Republican nominee, then it'll be the first time in the history of the country that we've put a man in the running, put a man up for president, whether he wins as president or not, who would know, but it'd be the first time we would have had a man that has been married three times, three different women, leaving each to go after the other, who boast of his sexual exploits, that he has slept with some of the top women of the world, who has built the first casino in the country to have a strip club, one that allows lap dancing and an all-male review club for women. I mean, these are things.
An all-male review club?
And here's the thing. Yeah, for women. Here's the thing. And there's other stuff, but this is the point here. Usually, I mean, historically, we have it at least elected people that had a certain moral standing, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it's like a pastor of a church, or it's a, you know, somebody in leadership is expected to have a certain moral standard. Why would that be important? Well, it'd be important for our children and grandchildren. I don't want my grandsons thinking that it's okay to sleep with all kind of different women. I don't want my grandsons thinking it's all right to
have your wife,
leave your wife and go jump in bed with somebody else. That is it's the craziest thing that I've seen in many a year. The Christian. Now, I don't believe a man has to be a Christian for us to vote for him as president. That certainly hasn't proven true. Now, they've usually had a religious background and professed to be Christian. They certainly weren't Muslims or Hindus or things of that nature. Obama's the first one to come along to say this is no longer a Christian nation. Maybe he's right, you know. Maybe he is has a point there, because what we do have is Christianity today seems to be a pseudo-Christianity. I mean, think about it this way. Think about this. If Donald Trump is elected president, he will be the first. It'll be the first time that we have a first lady who's posed nude. You know, I mean. This is just crazy to me how that that he has, and again, the crazy part of it is strong following in and among evangelical, quote, Christians. Mm-hmm. And now I have my own opinion as to why that he's so popular among Christians.
You have an opinion. We need to write that one down.
I do have an opinion. And I state it as my opinion, because that's what it is. I mean, I can't be dogmatic on certain things, but I do believe that I know. Let me just state it this way. I think that we have a pseudo-Christianity in America today. I don't believe that our churches are filled with saved people. I think that. And
why would you say that?
I think that it's very basic. A revelation, if you will, as to Christianity and its how one becomes a Christian. Well, let me say it this way. I heard Rick Perry there. Everybody's been talking about Trump's statements that he has never asked God for forgiveness. You know, mm-hmm. He doesn't feel the need to ask God for forgiveness and that sort of thing. And I don't have near as much problem with that statement as some others do. And I heard Rick Perry say that everybody knows in evangelical circles that you have to ask God for forgiveness and receive God or Christ or how, you know, they say it all kind of different ways in order to be saved and go to heaven. And that was somewhat, I don't want to misrepresent Perry, but that's pretty much what he stated. Mm-hmm. You have to ask God for forgiveness and receive Christ in order to go to heaven. Well, that's not what the Bible says. You see, I was reading a book the other day. I received a book from a church that I was visiting, and in this welcome packet, they had a book, and the book had a lot of good stuff in it. I mean, it had a lot of really good biblical chapters and biblical statements in it that were right on target, very good.
Mm-hmm.
But then it got, the last chapter in the book was said this, you have to believe and receive Christ in order to be saved and go to heaven. Now, I have to take issue with that. See, I don't believe that the Bible teaches that. Well, somebody's going to say, well, what about John chapter 1 and verse 12? Well, let's look at that a second. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, the word even simply means the same thing or on the same level.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not saying two different things here. He's not saying to believe and receive. He's saying to believe is to receive. When you believe on Christ, you are receiving Christ. We have some years ago, probably over 100 years ago, back in the mid to late 1800s, when when mass evangelism began. I don't think that there was any such thing as mass evangelism until the days of Billy Sunday and Finney and some of these well-known preachers of the past. They held these massive mass campaigns where thousands of people attended,
mm-hmm.
and they had Billy Sunday had what was called the Sawdust Trail, people that, because they met in tents and tabernacles that they built especially for these big meetings, and they put sawdust down. Instead of having walking on dirt, they had mm-hmm. sawdust down, and they called it the Sawdust Trail. People would hit the Sawdust Trail, come to the altar, and somewhere along the line, there was a development of this idea of praying to receive Christ, which was foreign to the church prior to that time. And so people come forward and they pray to receive Christ, or they say it different ways. I think in Billy Graham's crusade, you know, he used big stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of people would come out of their seats and come forward. In a Billy Graham crusade, mostly what you would see would be the workers would get up first. Those mm-hmm. and it was an interdenominational thing. So you had Lutherans and Episcopalians and Methodists and Baptists and on and on and on, Pentecostals, whatever it would be. They were their workers, and they would get up first and come forward, and they would be down there waiting when people would come. They would go and deal with them, and their training part of that was, when you're dealing with somebody, you get them to make a commitment to Christ. That mm-hmm. was the way it was towards the end of his campaigns. And but all of these things, this methodology that's been developed over the years to lead people to Christ is truly foreign to the Bible. Now I know that right now, if there are pastors listening to me that do this, if there are Christians who are soul winners, and I know they're probably getting upset already at what I'm saying, because it cuts across the grain. It goes contrary to what most of us believe. It goes contrary to what I was taught when I got into Christianity, when I was saved. It goes totally contrary. What I'm saying now goes totally contrary to everything I was taught after I came to know Christ. But fortunately for me, I came to know Christ in the privacy of my home and not in some church evangelistic meeting or something of that nature where they led me down a Romans road and got me to pray some sinner's prayer in order to receive Christ. I'm glad it occurred that way for me. Well, mm-hmm. I see that it's getting close to a break, and so let's take a break and we'll take this subject up a little on the other side of the break.
And join in on our conversation. We want to hear from you. 850-994-3747 is the number for you to dial. thrift stores lately? Helping Hand Missions operates three stores for your convenience. 6664 Highway 90 in Pace, across from Target. 5307 Gulf Breeze Parkway by Highway 399. And our Milton store at 5879 Stewart Street, across from King's Middle School. Stop by one of our three locations for some great finds and friendly customer service. Enjoy great bargains and the satisfaction of helping the homeless by shopping at the Helping Hand Missions thrift stores. Helping Hand Missions now offers a wide variety of new furniture and mattresses. Why not see what kind of treasure you can find at your favorite Helping Hand Missions thrift store in Pace, Milton, and Midway?
La Hacienda is a local family restaurant that serves the food you love. Since 1996, La Hacienda has been serving authentic Mexican food in this community. You can come and enjoy their great food at these three locations: 6471 Highway 90 in Milton, 4601 Highway 90 in Pace, and 8086 North Davis Highway in Pensacola. La Hacienda is a proud partner with Truth Radio WTGF 90.5, the beacon of truth for your community. Todos son bienvenidos. Everyone is welcome.
At Milton Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Milton, we're proud to support Truth Radio 90.5, and we would like to take this opportunity to invite all Truth listeners into our dealership in Milton, where you'll find a warm, friendly, Christian-oriented atmosphere, and where shopping for a new or used vehicle is stress-free. At Milton Dodge, we've been serving this community for well over 20 years, and we are definitely a business that you can trust. Drop by any Monday through Saturday, and we will happily take care of your needs. We're Milton Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Milton, and we're here to help.
Culpepper Insurance Agency is a proud sponsor of WTGF Truth Radio 90.5. They are located at 6630 Caroline Street in Milton, and their phone number is 623-3601. Supplying a peace of mind for your home, auto, recreational vehicles, and commercial insurance, along with life and health insurance, they are there for your needs. Help Culpepper Insurance support your Christian radio station. Thank them for making WTGF 90.5 possible in your community.
And welcome back to the Issues of Life radio show right here on WTGF. Join in our conversation today. We'd like to hear from you. Area code 850-994-3747. You can go to issuesofliferadio.com, comment there. You can go to our WTGF app, which is available in the Apple Store and Google Play Store. So there's many ways that you can get in touch with us.
No lack of opportunity. So anyway, we'd like to hear from you. And we're talking about Donald Trump's popularity, and among Christians particularly, that's our concern here, as to why people would support, you know, what the Bible would refer to as a whoremonger, mm-hmm. what the Bible would refer to as a, you know, somebody that's a gambler and, you know, has strip clubs, starts. Most of his money was earned, a good portion of his money at least, was earned by, through vice and immorality, immoral means. And you know, one would say, well, you know, he's don't have to be a Christian to be president of the country, and that's true, that is true, but a man ought to have a moral standard in order to be in leadership. I just believe it's important. If nothing else, if there were nothing else involved, the influence aspect of it. Now, I know we've had immoral men in leadership in the past. I think Richard Nixon, you know, he used all kind of foul language, and when it came out, some of the tapes that came out. And, of course, you know, we see a former president of Mexico came and used the F word on international news, you know, but mm-hmm. Donald Trump is not, that word is not foreign to him, you know, and using it in public. But are these the kind of people we want in our leadership, in ruling the country, for crying out loud? I mean, we have come a, you know, there's like the old commercial, you've come a long way, baby. Well, as a country, we've sure come a long way, down. And it's a sad state of affairs for me. But I really believe, and I get back to on point here in the matter of the subject that we're talking about. My opinion, and this is strictly my opinion, mm-hmm. from a biblical standpoint, and I believe I can back up my opinion from the Word of God, verses that are very clear, very simple, very clear in the Word of God. The Bible presents salvation is what you believe. It is believing on Christ. This idea of receiving Christ has been grossly changed from what the Bible presents as the way a person is saved. According to the scripture, and you'll see this everywhere in the Bible, and the incidences that we have in the Bible where a person it shows as someone coming to know Christ. I mean, it's clear that that's what's being done. For instance, in Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch. We've used this numerous times. Philip the man was riding in his chariot. There's Philip, the Holy Spirit sent Philip down there to preach to the gospel to the man. Philip did so. He got up in the chariot with him, and while they went along the way, the chariot was moving. Philip was preaching to this Ethiopian eunuch Christ. He preached Christ to the man. While Philip was preaching, somewhere along the way, the man believed what Philip was saying. And it's obvious. If you read the text in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 and following, if you read that text, it is and it's abundantly clear that the man believed what mm-hmm. Philip was preaching to him. And he said, he responded out of belief, "Hey, I want to be baptized." And so Philip took him down into the water and immersed him, mm-hmm. baptized him. And so, and the man went on his way. Philip went on his way rejoicing, and Philip was caught away and went back to preaching the gospel in towns along the way back to Jerusalem. But the point is, he didn't stop and ask him to pray. He didn't tell him that he had to repent of all of his sins. He did not tell him to commit his life to Christ. Mm-hmm. None of those things. Now, are those things in the Bible? Yeah, they are some of them are in a different context. But the man was saved by believing the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." What I believe has taken place over the past century, more abundantly in this century, the last century, and then entering into this one, the last 50 to 60 years, it has been it's gotten so distorted that it has no meaning anymore. This idea of receiving Christ, and back to what I was saying about that book that I received, that chapter that said, "Believe and receive." It's not believe and receive, it's believe and you do receive. Believing is receiving. And that's what I think there's a missing element here. It gets very confusing when people begin talking about salvation in that light, making it two separate points. Believe, and some people add others. You know, you got to believe, got to repent of all your sins, you got to ask Jesus to save you, you got to confess Jesus in order to be saved. That is extremely confusing. And when the Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." John 3:16, one of the most simple, clear verses in all the Bible, says it in a nutshell. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
And. Yeah. There's no "and" in there.
That's right.
That's pretty simple. Clear as it day. Is.
Yeah, and of course, when we talk like this, there are some who accuse us of not believing in repentance. The Bible is very clear about repentance. Repentance is a definite element of salvation. You must repent. Nobody will go to heaven without repenting. Jesus himself said, "Except you repent, you'll all likewise perish." Mm-hmm. Well, we have to keep that in its context, and we have to understand repentance for what it is. I believe the Apostle Paul defined repentance in Philippians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, somewhere in there, down to verse 9, when he declared his position in Judaism. He was a very religious man. He was an upright man. He was an extremely moral man. He kept the law to a degree that few people ever keep the law. Mm-hmm. And yet he says, "All this I've counted dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of faith. And so salvation has been taken over by a group. And there's no design here, I don't think. I don't believe that there's any kind of a conspiracy to undermine salvation. Mm-hmm. I think that most people are duped by the same devil that started it all in the beginning. And it's that most of the time the devil uses things that sound logical, that seem to be right. He's not this big monster out here scaring people into hell, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He is an angel of light who presents himself as the most beautiful of creatures and presents his doctrine, his positions as the most reasonable. And seemingly that why would you go against it? You mm-hmm. know, I mean, it sounds so very logical. And if you look at the scriptures, the way they're presented in most cases, whereby people are led down this primrose path to, quote, receive Christ, that really does seem logical. And I really don't believe that pastors and evangelists and soul winners in churches set out to deceive people. I don't believe that at all. But I do believe the end game of the devil is to trap people into going to hell, to a devil's hell. You know, and so these are things that we need to consider. You mm-hmm. know, that in my own case, I made a profession. I went forward in one of these churches. By the way, it was a fundamental independent Baptist church. I went forward in this church as a 12-year-old boy. The pastor, who was, I think he's passed on now, but he was a very popular, well-known evangelist all over the country. He led me in down the what's called the Romans Road, led me to pray the sinner's prayer, pronounced me saved, and baptized me after the service. Well, I'm going to tell you today that I didn't get saved. Now, they would say, because I did that I'm saved. Mm-hmm. I just got confused. No, I didn't get confused. I didn't get saved was what happened. And so these are the things that are going on in churches all across the land. And again, I don't believe that's a good man who led me down that mm-hmm. to make that experience. He's not a bad man. That was a good man. He's an excellent preacher, and you know, on and on. I mean, I could laud his praises all day long. But I really believe is that he himself has probably made some type of a profession, the same way somebody led him down that same path, and that's how he. And I'm not saying he's not saved, but the system, the method that we're using, is bankrupt. It doesn't work. It's not getting people to Christ. It's giving people a false assurance that you have to keep them assured of throughout the rest of their life. And at the end, they're going to be mighty surprised when they wake up in hell.
Yes, it'll be a big surprise. Well, join in on our conversation. Area code 850-994-3747. Or you go to issuesofliferadio.com. Download the WTGF app. It's all ways that you can get in touch with us right here at WTGF. Again, the phone number 850-994-3747. Have you been to our thrift stores lately? Helping Hand Missions operates three stores for your convenience. 6664 Highway 90 in Pace, across from Target. 5307 Gulf Breeze Parkway by Highway 399. And our Milton store at 5879 Stewart Street, across from King's Middle School. Stop by one of our three locations for some great finds and friendly customer service. Enjoy great bargains and the satisfaction of helping the homeless by shopping at the Helping Hand Missions thrift stores. Helping Hand Missions Missions now offers a wide variety of new furniture and mattresses. Why not see what kind of treasure you can find at your favorite Helping Hand Missions thrift store in Pace, Milton, and Midway?
Culpepper Insurance Agency is a proud sponsor of WTGF Truth Radio 90.5. They are located at 6630 Caroline Street in Milton, and their phone number is 623-3601. Supplying a peace of mind for your home, auto, recreational vehicles, and commercial insurance, along with life and health insurance, they are there for your needs. Help Culpepper Insurance support your Christian radio station. Thank them for making WTGF 90.5 possible in your community.
At Milton Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Milton, we're proud to support Truth Radio 90.5, and we would like to take this opportunity to invite all Truth listeners into our dealership in Milton, where you'll find a warm, friendly, Christian-oriented atmosphere, and where shopping for a new or used vehicle is stress-free. At Milton Dodge, we've been serving this community for well over 20 years, and we are definitely a business that you can trust. Drop by any Monday through Saturday, and we will happily take care of your needs. We're Milton Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Milton, and we're here to help.
Welcome back to the Issues of Life radio show. I'm glad people can't see what happens during the break.
I'm telling you, John's getting yoga-ish on me here, if that's a word. I think he's getting involved in Eastern religions or something.
No. It's just lack of oxygen. You know, in Nashville, they had lack of oxygen. Yeah. We have a caller on the line. Jack, hello?
Yeah, hello. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I was listening to your to all of what was being said there, and you know, I was led to Christ at a Baptist church when I was 9 years old, and you know, I've always known that I was a Christian. You know, from that point on, I mean, I recognized my profession of faith. But later, and I even went to Billy Graham crusades and have experienced his, you know, incredible evangelistic skill and all that. The thing about what Dewey was talking about that has been really interesting to me over the last 5 or so years. I'm now in my 50s. Is that I grew up being taught that the once saved, always saved doctrine was just the gospel truth, and you know, was the correct view based on a very, you know, plain interpretive view of the scriptures. But I've since shifted my position and don't believe that anymore. And it's not that I believe in a works-based salvation, because I don't. It's just that I believe that if you don't have the works with the faith, if they aren't operating together, then you don't have salvation, whether you think you received it or not in the first place. And I've also come to believe that a lot of the kind of, well, I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior kind of thinking, and then there's no change that happens in people's lives, really, or there's a change for a while, but then there's no final, you know, there's no staying with the faith or persisting to the end. To me, I think it's a form, that doctrine is a form of kind of what we would call postmodern existentialism, kind of overlaid onto the scriptures, and without a real understanding of the original intent of the, you know, of the passages that that discuss our salvation. And I have a tendency to have a sort of an Antonin Scalia originalist view of the Bible in the first place. And I think what we're doing is confusing the scriptures with, you know, the ultimate reality of faith and all of the other elements that go into any kind of salvific reality when it comes to our Christian faith. And so I've come to believe that the once saved, always saved doctrine is just a superficial understanding of that situation, and that the works, the faith and the works have to be together. And if you look at the book of James, even, says faith without works is dead. I mean, and even Luther wanted that taken out of the biblical canon because that didn't square with his reforming idea of salvation sola fide, salvation by faith alone. So I think, and even more so, I would say that part of the problem is that Christians believe, have a tendency, evangelical Christians have a tendency to believe that, oh, well, I'm saved, I accepted Christ, and so now, you know, my behavior in this world has no bearing whatsoever on my salvation. I just simply don't believe that. I don't know of any other realm in life where that's true, and I see that as a form of magical thinking and just sort of postmodern existential thinking, but not as a real authentic Christian faith that is focused on a personal relationship with God
because of what Jesus did for us, and that the Holy Spirit indwells us, you know, as we live our lives.
Well, Jack,
there's a whole lot there, I know, I've struggled with this, and it's been a difficult thing in my life. And my view is actually more in line with a Catholic view, that you know, Catholics are much more serious about sin and about repentance and about obedience than most Protestant evangelicals who are really highly, highly hypocritical in many respects. Even though they're good people and many times they're moral people, I think they also have a tendency to take a very surface view of salvation.
Well, I appreciate your call, Jack, and I appreciate your opinion there. And if you would listen real, you know, if you would give some consideration, this is what I'd ask you to do. Just simply consider what I have to say today. I really believe that if you would look at what I'm saying, and take the scripture and search it out, I think you would find that. You know, what you have, I think, in your situation there, what you're trying to present is in the matter of saying that salvation is not eternal, that it's something that can be, you know, people can. Now, I do believe that people can make a profession and not be saved. That happened to me. You can make your, and by the way, when I was 12 years old, I was there. You could not have been more sincere than I was when I went forward. I really, truly wanted something. I wanted to be a changed little boy, and it wasn't a matter that I of not knowing that I was a sinner. You know, at 12 years old, I was pretty pretty rough.
We're not going to go down that road.
But the point is, I didn't get saved, and the reason that I didn't get saved was that somebody. And I think this, Jack, I believe that when I was 12 years old, if someone would have, instead of getting me to, quote, quote, receive Christ, if they would have spent time getting me to understand who Christ is and what he did when he died on the cross of Calvary, I believe that I would have believed that day if they had taken the time to instruct me in that matter. And my whole point here today with this discussion, with this presentation, is to try to demonstrate how that salvation, that evangelism, has been misconstrued to the point that people really aren't getting saved for the most part. Now, I'm not saying that everybody who quote, quote, receives Christ is not getting saved. What I am saying is that our emphasis ought to be on instructing people in the Word of God as to the person and work of Christ. If we could get people to understand, number one, who Christ is. Christ did not begin in Bethlehem's manger. Christ has always been. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is the eternal God. And that's the beginning element of a person truly coming to know him, is first of all understanding from the scriptures who he is. Secondly, he told the woman at the well, if you knew who it was that's talking to you, and this is my paraphrase, if you knew who it was that was talking to you, and the gift of God, you would have asked, and he would have given you living water that you'd never thirst again. So the second thing that a person has to know, and I mean when I say know, understand from the scriptures, beyond who he is what he did. When he died on the cross of Calvary, he died for all sin of all men for all time. He didn't leave anything out. And so when he died on the cross, he, God in the flesh, took our sin upon him. And so that if you think about this clearly enough, there's nothing between separating us from God anymore. There's nothing that's there between us and God. God is completely reconciled by what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. And salvation is when we come to the place of understanding it from the scriptures that we are reconciled, that we are reconciled from God's viewpoint. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So God's already reconciled. The work has been done. God is reconciled. We become reconciled practically when we know and understand. And let me say it this way. When we're satisfied with the same thing God's satisfied with. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:11 that when he, God the Father, shall see the travail of his, Jesus' soul, he shall be satisfied. When Jesus looked up from Calvary to the heaven and said and gave up the ghost, he said right prior to that, it's finished. So he finished the work, and we simply must believe it. And repentance is turning away from whatever our confidence is in, be it a profession, be it doing good works, getting baptized, joining the church, whatever it might be. Our repentance would be turning away from an incorrect response to a correct response, which is believing the word of God about what Christ did for us on Calvary.
Right. Can I respond to that? I appreciate every bit of that, and I think that is all, you know, in essence, very, very true. I do believe, however, that a person has to not just know about it, but they have to choose it. They have to receive it. That they have to participate in this gift that is made available because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Christ finished it in the sense that it's finished, that God and mankind can be reconciled. However,
no, wait a minute. Hold on. Let me make a correction. God is already reconciled. See, that's the part that's not made clear. The Bible clearly states that God is already reconciled. We are Jesus Christ reconciled us to, or God reconciled us to himself by the death of Christ on the cross, according to Colossians 1:20.
Well, hold on. Are you then advocating for a universalist atonement that everybody is already reconciled?
Yes, absolutely, yes. Not a universal atonement according to the theology aspect of it, but the scriptural aspect of it is that all men have been reconciled to God. Everybody, everywhere. That's from God's standpoint.
Okay, but not everybody's going to be saved.
No, right? Absolutely not. But
only those who receive the gift.
So well, no. Let me correct that. It's those who believe. See, that's where the difference comes. That's my whole point in this discussion today, this presentation. It is in regards. In other words, the way I benefit from it is to believe it. And when I say believe it, I don't mean just give a mental assent. But I mean that I accept what the scripture says about the fact that God is reconciled. And that is what brings me into that relationship with him. My understanding and receive, in other words, to believe is to receive. When you believe it, truly believe it, then it becomes a part of you. In other words, you accept it.
But then what do you do with all the passages elsewhere, all throughout scripture, that reflects the notion that, again, faith without works is dead? I mean, we could start with the book of James, or we can go all over the Bible with New Testament. What about in Pauline theology, all the admonitions that suggest that believing is, I mean, even the demons believe, but shudder.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not just about believing. There's more to it than that. It's like the old idea of knowing, being, and doing. Just to know is, and I'm a college professor, I mean, just knowing is not sufficient. You don't really fully know something just because you have cognitive assent, in the sense that you also understand something or know something by doing something about it and by also being it. It's knowing, doing, and being, and not merely knowing.
Right.
I think that's part of the problem in my perception of the whole neo-evangelical movement of the past 20th century, is that it's all about, hey, it's what John MacArthur would call easy believism. Hey, just believe it, and it's done. There's more to it than...
But see,
there's more to belief than that.
Here's the thing now. You know, this easy believism, we've got to go to a break. Let's go to a break, and you hang on. You got time to hang on?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, hold on, and we'll take this up after this break, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you.
Well, join in. It's the Issues of Life radio show right here on WTGF. 850-994-3747 is the number for you to dial. We'll be right back.
Hacienda is a local family restaurant that serves the food you love. Since 1996, La Hacienda has been serving authentic Mexican food in this community. You can come and enjoy their great food at these three locations: 6471 Highway 90 in Milton, 4601 Highway 90 in Pace, and 8086 North Davis Highway in Pensacola. La Hacienda is a proud partner with Truth Radio WTGF 90.5, the beacon of truth for your community. Todos son bienvenidos. Everyone is welcome.
Have you been to our thrift stores lately? Helping Hand Missions operates three stores for your convenience. 6664 Highway 90 in Pace, across from Target. 5307 Gulf Breeze Parkway by Highway 399. And our Milton store at 5879 Stewart Street, across from King's Middle School. Stop by one of our three locations for some great finds and friendly customer service. Enjoy great bargains and the satisfaction of helping the homeless by shopping at the Helping Hand Missions thrift stores. Helping Hand Missions now offers a wide variety of new furniture and mattresses. Why not see what kind of treasure you can find at your favorite Helping Hand Missions thrift store in Pace, Milton, and Midway?
At Milton Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Milton, we're proud to support Truth Radio 90.5, and we would like to take this opportunity to invite all Truth listeners into our dealership in Milton, where you'll find a warm, friendly, Christian-oriented atmosphere, and where shopping for a new or used vehicle is stress-free. At Milton Dodge, we've been serving this community for well over 20 years, and we are definitely a business that you can trust. Drop by any Monday through Saturday, and we will happily take care of your needs. We're Milton Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Milton, and we're here to help.
And welcome back to the Issues of Life radio show right here on WTGF. I believe we have Jack on the line. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, Jack, listen, what we were talking about before we went to break, you know, and I understand that the concept and what those say about easy believism, but salvation is easy. And the reason it's easy is not because it's some simple plan of salvation. It's easy because God did the work. Now, getting to the place of being saved is not easy. The book of Hebrews says that we're to labor to enter into that rest. Well, the labor is in finding out from the scriptures who Jesus is and what he did. That's where the labor comes in. And when a person truly believes on Christ and is born into the family of God, he gets the very righteous nature of God placed down inside his being. And when that happens, then that righteous nature, you know, Philippians 2:12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So that righteousness that God puts inside of us, our responsibility for that is to show it forth on the outside. And so it's not a matter of, you know, that salvation is that can be lost or that you have to maintain it. Salvation it shows forth out of an individual who's truly possesses Christ. We are made the righteousness of God in him. And that is because of belief, not because of some act of receiving through prayer, through committing your life, through none of those things. Has nothing to do with it. It's simply understanding what Christ did and resting in that fact.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with everything you just said right there. I do agree too that salvation is easy. It may not be simple to get there. I agree with that, and it may not be simple to explain. I certainly don't think it's simple to explain. But I do think it's easy. You know, it is truly easy to just come to, finally arrive at that place and believe it and accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I mean, I think that's real and true. And I agree that the way, what you do, the how you pray, whether it's fervent or not, or whatever form it's in or whatever, is really not an issue. So I would certainly agree with all that. At the same time, I still do believe that you can also believe this and accept it and then get to another point in your life and throw it out and totally reject it. And I believe I've seen hundreds of people now in my life do that very thing.
Well, but see, but here's the thing. Here's the thing, Jack. You don't know for sure if those hundreds of people were saved or not.
No, I don't.
See, you can't. I can't see into a person's heart, and neither can you. And so, we really don't know.
But that's the same thing as saying you can't prove or disprove whether God exists in the first place. I mean, none of us ultimately will know that until we're on the other side.
Well, that's exactly right. Because Satan, and the other side of that text is,
if a person professes this, if a person tells me, "Yes, I sincerely understood my sinfulness, I repented, I arrived at a place where I saw that it was true, I believed it, and I accepted it, and yet now, 30 years later, I'm at a place where I just don't believe that anymore," then you know what? All I have to go on is what they tell me. You're exactly right. But what they're telling me is that they don't have it anymore. They have rejected
well, but,
it. And I believe
but see,
God does say, okay, fine, go.
But they're telling me is they never had it to start with.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, they said they had it to start with.
But according to the scriptures, Jude 1 says that we are preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Believers are
that's
sanctified and preserved in Jesus Christ.
But that passage can be so nuanced in the Aramaic and in the Hebrew. I mean, that can mean past tense, that can mean future tense. Can have so many different interpretive and nuances.
Let me tell you what it says in the Greek. It says that we're pickled saints.
Pickled saints.
At least we're not fried.
That, we're preserved. We're set up for the long haul. I'm being a little facetious. Jack, we got another caller on the line. I appreciate you being with us today. I hope you'll continue listening and call in. I enjoy talking with you, okay?
Thank you.
All right.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Yes, I have a quick question.
Okay.
I have been told, I've been brought up as in a Calvinistic family, and I was told that not all Calvinists believe in eternal security. I also heard that the Arminian side also doesn't believe in eternal security. I want to know what it is that with the terms on that. I just lost my father a couple of weeks ago, and I know something that he went through, but it showed me that Dad was Christian he right up to the day he died.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm certainly sorry about your loss there. I know that's I can sense in your voice that you're still grieving over that, and we're certainly going to pray for you in that loss. I know it's a serious matter. So, But to answer your question in regards to the terms, the Calvinists believe in eternal security, and Arminians, they're two principal doctrines. Came out of the Wesley's movement, and the other by John Calvin. The Bible does teach, contrary to what some believe, and our previous caller, regarding that you can lose your salvation. The Bible is very clear that salvation is eternal. You know, and it's not there are some false teaching on both sides of this issue, on the Calvinistic side and on the Arminian side. I'm a Baptist. I'm neither Calvinistic nor Arminian. I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe in the free will of man. I believe God in his sovereignty has given man a free will, and he, as God, can certainly give man a free will and operate within that realm without losing or in any way his sovereignty being affected. He is truly God. So, but the salvation that God provides to an individual who believes on Christ is eternal, and you cannot lose it. Irregardless of what anybody says, it cannot be lost once you have. It can no more be lost than I cannot be my mother's son, my father's son, whether they like it or not. I mean, my father left me when I was divorced my mother and left right after I was born. So I had very little contact with him in my life. But the evidence that I'm his son still there. And, you know, I look like him and probably act like him more than I want to. I never went out being around him much. But the fact is, he can't change that. Even though he didn't want me, he can't change that. I can't change that. I'm his son, and I'm 65 years old. He's passed on now, but I'm still a Mars. And so that's part of it. When you become a child of God, you become a son of God. How can that be changed? You know, no matter how rebellious one might be or no matter what one might do, once you truly become a son of God, then that's it in a nutshell. And that's why I say, regarding this matter of receiving, believing, and receiving, when you believe on Christ, when you understand who he is and truly what he did when he died on the cross of Calvary, that fact that God the Father is satisfied with what God the Son did and what the Holy Ghost of God effects, then truly you understand that salvation is not of man but of God. Did that help? I don't know if that. Are you still there?
Yes.
Did I answer your question, or is there any another aspect of that I'm not dealing with?
No. Answered my question.
All right. Well, listen, we're going to be praying for. In fact, before we go off the air today, I'd like to pray with you, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Father, we bow and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for our caller. And Lord, I know that he's difficulty in the loss of a father and even older age and natural probably decline. And I just pray that you strengthen him and guide and direct him. And Lord, help him to truly understand the matter of salvation. These two aspects of the differing doctrines that people have developed are very important that we get them clear and understand from the scriptures that salvation is eternal. Bless him and use him, we pray and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you so much for the call. God bless you. Keep listening and call back, will you?
Yep.
Thank you.
All right. You have a good day.
Wow, we've got just a couple of minutes left.
I'll tell you, just time flies, doesn't it? Time flies when you're having fun. Absolutely. There's nothing I would rather do than talk about the Word of God.
Nothing more important in our lives.
That's right. And some of the best times that I've had in far as study, better more than in classroom studies and all the theological studies in the world, you know, the study of Greek and Hebrew. I believe a person can clearly understand the Word of God from the English King James 1611 Bible. Now, we're not reading an actual 1611. If we were, we wouldn't be able to read it. But we're getting some. You can get all the understanding you need from this good old 1611 King James Bible. And I would encourage you to read it, study it diligently, and ask the Holy Spirit of God to teach you its true meaning.
I actually got to see one that was printed in 1611 last week.
How about that?
It was amazing.
At the NRB, they had that Bible display there again.
Yes.
That's a very interesting. You look at the
yes,
S's
all the
look
different,
like F's and
right.
that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yes.
Very interesting.
I needed an interpreter.
Well,
for that one.
I was going to be naughty, but I'll behave myself.
You'd be a good boy today. It's the Issues of Life radio show right here on WTGF. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
The issues of life. God bless you. You join us again next week at the same time.